107.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's our delight to have you join us today, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion. We'll be talking about today the loss of truth. The loss of truth. We find that when you look at the local newspaper. Let me just hit a couple of high points to introduce our issue today. The local newspaper. We read that some are supposedly, hear me, seething over Governor DeSantis' gun rights law. Another disinformation about truth says that black voters disapproved DeSantis' decision to block high school history classes. Both of those articles from the local Jacksonville newspaper, nothing but disinformation, misinformation, and an absolute destruction of truth. The way the articles are worded, the headlines alone are deceptive and not true. And I want to use that as an illustration, ladies and gentlemen, today, about what we see taking place on a local, state, and national level when it comes to our election and who we vote to place in office to lead us as a people. And as we look at the issue today, as with each and every day, may I remind you that we face the issues based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. It's not a matter of some philosophical rhetoric, a denominational dogma, or some political ideology. We look at it through the prism. We look at issues through the prism of the word of God. What does God's word say? That ought to be the major, major, major element of what we do in speaking and communication today. It should be on truth. The Bible says righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness, rightness before God, truth before God, exalts, lifts up, glorifies a nation. But sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. We see that to be factual today. In fact, in Proverbs 29 and verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And ladies and gentlemen, that's as a result of how we cast our vote. That's as a result of who we select, who we choose to lead us locally, statewide, and nationally. May I say to you, we need to go back to the truth book. John 8:31-32 is the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And furthermore, in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus makes a de facto statement, thy word is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. It will stand, the truth of the Word of God will stand yesterday, today, and tomorrow, regardless of what the society might say or deem to be true. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's the factual truth today. We need to realize that truth is not sought, truth is not embraced, truth is viewed as being vacillating, and however one deems it. In fact, with the Millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, according to the latest research, says, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's an impossibility. That's what we see happening today. This is the reason, for example, you had the January 6th committee that met for some almost 2 years, and they crafted their answers. They crafted their entire investigatory purview of what happened on January the 6th at the Capitol. They crafted it all around a preconceived, predetermined disinformation manifestation of lies. And we're knowing that now because Tucker Carlson has been given the opportunity, the responsibility of revealing about 40,000 hours of videotape, collected 40,000 hours of videotape of every square foot, every square inch of the Capitol building. Good example, we were told a lie that police officer Sisnick, I believe his name was killed in the, quote, riots at the Capitol by someone striking him in the head with a fire extinguisher. Yet, according to the video footage, even after that event, Sisnick, the police officer, is seen walking around in perfect health, in perfect condition, not dead. But yet we were told that he was killed with a fire extinguisher blow to the head by the rioters in the Capitol building. We're talking about the loss of truth. We go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day to each of us on this broadcast. We need to seek the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. We stand in the gap between the deception, the misinformation, and the disinformation, not from the right, as we're called, not from the conservatives, but from the leftist. We have this misinformation, the disinformation, the lie that's being told to us by all of our thugs with badges, the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ, and also from the FDA, the CDC, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We've been lied to about the origin of COVID. We knew that we'd been lied to. We've been lied to about January the 6th as to what's taken place. We've been lied to about just about every major issue that's taken place in our nation. And now all of a sudden, as truth is coming out, Chuck Schumer and others are hysterical, a hair on fire, making threats, giving out further disinformation and misinformation. Why are they doing that? Because they're fearful of the fact that the truth is finally being told. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands with Honda, like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole, 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the loss of truth, the loss of truth. Most of this news headline and the newspaper says that people are seething because gun rights laws. Another disinformation about truth says that the black voters disagree, disapprove of Governor DeSantis' decision to block high school history classes. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not blocking high school history classes. Governor DeSantis is trying to prevent error, misinformation, disinformation, and absolute lies in the classroom. She's going to teach history, white history, black history, and everything in between. Do not divide us ethnically as a nation, as a state. That's all the governor's saying. Governor's saying, don't teach the 1619 agenda lie. Don't teach the critical race theory lie that goes on to divide us. And what Governor DeSantis is saying is cut out the Marxism. Karl Marx was a genius, demonically speaking. Karl Marx had it on out of about 10 major points in Marxism. He had the idea of dividing us by race, the Marxist approach, divide the nation by race, destroy the family, the nuclear family, and dethrone God. Those are the three main things out of the 10 points of Marxism. Destroy the family, dethrone God, and divide us as a nation. And that's exactly what these people on the left are doing, and then claim that it is something that's wrong with the governor. I don't know about you, but I commend our governor for what he's done to have a synthesis and a methodology of keeping us together as a state and of honoring God and our Constitution in doing so. I agree with him. Don't teach black history. In fact, I'm against Black History Month. Hear me. Teach history, the whole seamless history. What is it about whites? What is it about blacks? What do we need to know as a nation? How are we formed as a nation? Who did what, when, and where? Take the ethnicity out of it. God created one race, ladies and gentlemen. It's the human race. And when they tell the lie, the disinformation about the gun control laws, it's simply because the governor is pushing and our legislators are on the fast track to do so to give us constitutional carry in the state of Florida. Constitutional carry. I'm looking at the newspaper article for the local tabloid fish wrapper called the Florida Times Union. It says gun rights advocates seething over a DeSantis law. Ladies and gentlemen, the state of Florida is not seething over the law. We're rejoicing over the fact that through legislative process, there's a hope that we can have full control of our Second Amendment right without any infringement thereon. That's what he's doing. That's what's taking place. And across the nation, state after state after state are instituting laws that will peel away the restrictions and the infringements on our Second Amendment right. Keep in mind, God gave us our Second Amendment right, the right to keep and bear arms, the right of self-defense. God gave it to us. It's codified in our Constitution. It's confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Courts over and over and over again, and to be carried out by we the people. So don't give me the untruth, or if you like to call it that, an out-and-out disinformation, misinformation, or lie. We're watching the loss of truth, and ladies and gentlemen, it boils down to this. It boils down to how we vet the candidates that we put in office that's going to make the decisions for the future of our city, of our state, and of our nation. This is the reason it is so important, ladies and gentlemen, to recognize that the disinformation and the misinformation is not from the conservatives, it's not from the Christians, it's not from the patriots. This is something that's being carried out by the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party and the Marxist media that's in our nation today. The left is trying to crucify Tucker Carlson because he's exposing the lies on the left of what really happened on January the 6th, for example. I believe we have a caller on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes. Look, I'm going to tell you. I'm 70 years old.
You're a young man.
I'm 70 years old, but I'm glad our governor stepped up and did what he did, because the LGBTQXYZZXR or whatever they want to call it. So.
Just call it the sodomite agenda. That's what it is.
Okay. But I'm telling you, I mean, you were dead on point. Yeah, I would love to start. I mean, I get a little check, social security check. But I would love to start sending you money because you are standing up for truth.
Amen. Well, I say to people just like yourself, may your tribe increase. We need more and more people that are tuned in, join in the dialogue and discussion, more and more that's willing to underwrite the program that we set forth each and every day, simply peeling away the layers of the onion, getting down to the boil down, as I call it, the nitty-gritty facts of the truth. And the facts is what God will have us to go by based on the Word of God. Without admixture, without error, without misinformation or disinformation, simply what would God have us to do in the society in which we're living in? You're exactly right, Kenneth, and we keep praying for you, and we are thankful for your support, thankful for what you do, thankful for your encouragement as you call in, and may you have a blessed day today. Thank you so much for your call.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have someone that's going to be with us in just a moment. We're going to talk about our candidates locally, and I've tried to set the stage for us to understand that every vote counts, and how we vote and who we vote for. The March 21st election, we're already underway with the preliminaries leading up to the election day. By the way, just for your information, in case you've not heard me say it, I am against advance voting. I'm against the so-called mail-in ballots and the harvesting of ballots. I believe we need to go back to having an election day, not an election month, not an election week, not an election 10 days, but an election day that everyone goes on the goes to the polls on that day, even if we have to have a state law that says all businesses are to be shut down on election day so that everybody will be able to go to the polls and vote without excuse. I believe we need to go back to the elimination of the electronic counting and voting, go back to the hand counting so that we've got a paper trail to go from, and have an election day. You recall, I do, you may or may not, back when we did have election day before all of this intrusion of the watering down and the diminishing, the tearing down, and the undermining of election process, all started by the Socialist Marxist Communist Party called the Democrats. Before that took place, we had an election day. And the strange thing is, regardless of the size city, regardless of the size state, on election day, by 12, 1 or 2 o'clock at night, we had an answer as to who won the election, all hand counted. And now we have the voting machines that you can count three or four times and still cannot come up. There's some states right now that still trying to figure out who won some of the local elections and the statewide elections in 2022. We need to go back to election day with the hand counting. But we have with us today Raymond Johnson. Raymond is the president of Biblical Concepts Ministries. Raymond is heavily involved in the election process. He does some of the campaign leadership for several of our candidates on a city, statewide basis. And I'm thankful to have Raymond with us today. Raymond, thank you so much for taking time out of what is a hairy-carry, busy schedule leading up to Election Day on the 21st of this month. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. It's always a pleasure to get to join your program, and especially during this busy time. It is busy, but I appreciate the opportunity to try to educate voters on what's going on. So it's good to be with you today.
Raymond, it's good to have you. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say again, it's Raymond Johnson. Raymond is the president of Biblical Concepts Ministries. Raymond also heads up a leadership program in campaign leadership. He has assisted a number of our candidates, past and present candidates, been doing this for many, many years. He has his, finger on the scale. He knows what's taking place. He's on the ground with some of the leadership that we have, and he's familiar with many of our candidates. Raymond, you've heard me say before, and let me, for the benefit of our listeners that may not have grasped it before, let me just interject this before we get on the discussion of our mayor's race and some of the other serious competitive races in our city and why we need to vote and who, literally, who we need to vote for based on the biblical voter's guide. In fact, the biblical voter's guide, Raymond, as you understand, we've talked about it many, many times over the years, in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, expressly gives us who we're to vote for. The scripture says, able men, able men. And Raymond, and for our listeners, we need to understand that that's talking about those that have the ability and the capability to lead us in the area that they were running for. They have Amen. The gifts, talents, and abilities to carry out the task. By the way, lest I forget it again, that telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're listening tuned in by way of Internet, it's 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can have the dialogue and discussion with you. And as some have put it, you can drop in your 2 cents worth. But the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, we need to elect able men. That means having the capability and the ability to carry out the task, such as fear God, the scripture says. That means honoring God, reverencing God, reverencing God's word. One who will allow his faith in God to have his focus on his work and the leadership that he's elected to do. And thirdly, Raymond, the Bible says that we need to elect men of truth. Amen. This eliminates most of the candidates that's running locally. This Amen. Eliminates many of those that are sending out the stuffing your mailbox with smear cards, with defaming words and statements about some of the conservative, godly candidates that's running. Men of truth eliminates many of those today that are sending out those smut flyers to diminish their opposition, rather than it simply being on the basis of what you have done, what you can do, and what you are doing. And thirdly, Amen. The scripture says not only able men, such as fear God, and men of truth, but also hating covetousness. Hating covetousness, what does it mean? It means they're not greedy, money grabbing, not sold out to the lobbyists, not controlled by the good old boys club in our city and in the state, and the power brokers behind the scenes. We're voting for men of God that are able men. They fear God. They're men of truth, and they're not controlled by the power brokers, not covetous, not greedy, not sold out to the lobbyists, not controlled by those. So that's what we're looking for, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about electing those that's going to lead us. So with that being said, Raymond, I'm just going to turn you loose and let you talk for a minute. We've got, in the mayor's race, which I contend is the most important race, all of these other races that we're voting on, they're important, no question about it. Several of them are constitutional offices that we're voting for that, no question, they're viable, valuable, and have an integral part of what we do in our city. But may I say to our listeners, Raymond, the first and foremost importance in this election, I believe, is placing a mayor in our office that's not a puppet for the good old boys club, that's not a puppet for the power brokers, that's not a puppet for those that want to control our city, but one that is honorable, that will represent us as people. So with that being said, Raymond, let me just ask you a question. Would you tell our listeners something about why our vote for mayor should be for Al Ferraro? I don't mind being open with that. Why should we, the people, vote for Al Ferraro as mayor of the city of Jacksonville? Tell us who he is, why he's running, and something about his character and his characteristics and his background. Just take several minutes and feel free to speak to our listeners about that candidate.
Well, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. That's exactly where I wanted to go. So, just to kind of, and I know you've had Councilman Al Ferraro on your program several times, but, different people listening different days, so we want to remind everybody of what's going on. You know, I support Councilman Al Ferraro for a host of reasons. And I can tell you that, you know, I've known the man for probably 10 years now. I know he's been in office 8 years, and I had met him just before he had filed to run for office. And he's a solid guy. You know, it's pretty rare. Let's just start with his record as a council person. You know, it's pretty rare that after 8 years serving on city council that your district, the voters in the district actually like you. I mean, really like you. You know, some of them may just vote for you again at another time because they know your name. But I can tell you, I've been on the ground knocking thousands of doors over the last few months over in that district for him and my other friend Mike Gay running for city council. We're going to talk about him more later. But, the voters over there in District 2, Ocean Way, Northside area, really like Al Ferraro. But the most important thing, as you mentioned, as you call it, God's election guide, you know, able men that fear God, men of truth. And so Al Ferrero meets all four of those biblical qualifications. I mean, he is a true, real man of faith that takes his faith in God seriously. You know, and so he loves the Lord and is trying to serve his community and do what's right for the people. Not coveting, you know, not being one that's just in it for themselves. And I scratch my back, you scratch mine, and so forth. So he's always looked out for the people that he's represented very well. And, you know, he cares about what's doing what's right and exposing corruption. You know, he has consistently voted, you know, for what's right, exposing the corruption, for not being for taxes. You know, let me tell you a big thing for me is on the moral issues. He has voted against what we call the HRO, meaning what they call the Human Rights Ordinance, as you call it, the Human Reprobate Ordinance, which is a special rights for the LGBT people, and which is also known as the Open Bathroom Bill. His two opponents either voted for it on the city council or supported it, publicly supported it. Mm-hmm. And right. So he has not only opposed it, but in his 8 years on the council, that came up three different times. So when you count committee votes, he voted against it 10 different times. And let me tell you this other important story real quick, try to get this in before our noon break here. But, after it was in 2019, well, it was Pride Month, June, which is Pride Month. After we had the big Supreme Court case in 2015 that really opened the LGBT floodgate of just, you know, the onslaught of their agenda. I mean, they had free reign with their agenda. So they came up with a new grooming recruiting tool called Drag Queen Story Hour. And I know you've been talking about that for a lot for years now. Mm-hmm. But that first tried to come to Jacksonville in 2019. So when I heard about that, the very first phone call I made was to my friend Councilman Al Ferrero to say, man, you're my only real ally on the city council. You're the guy I'm looking to. Hey, you got to, you know, hear that this is what's coming. The Jacksonville Public Library is hosting this thing. This is inappropriate to be in the, the public library. So literally within 24 to 48 hours, if not the exact same day, I can't remember exactly, if not that day, by the next day for sure, Drag Queen Story Hour had been canceled in our Jacksonville Public Library. It did not take place. They did hold one, but it was at a private location. And so, you know, he's the only councilman that would actually have, the backbone to publicly say, this is inappropriate. Everybody else wants to bury their head. They don't want the LGBT mafia to come after them. Al Ferrero had backbone and said, this is absolutely inappropriate for children, and it's inappropriate for in our tax-funded, facilities. And he stood against that and single-handedly got it stopped. So,
absolutely. And one of the things, if I can jump in for just a moment to tie up some loose ends before our news break, Al is the only city council person that for 8 years on city council refused to accept a pay raise. All the other council members voted for themselves a pay raise, and Al Ferrero said no. He is one of only two conservatives on the city council out of 19 members that does not have a nonprofit corporate entity that then dips into the till from the city to cover the cost of their nonprofits. Making of the profit out of the city taxpayers' funding, going to the city taxpayers' trough, if you will, to be reimbursed. So it's important for our listeners to understand that. Raymond, hang in there. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to have the top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, we'll come back and we'll continue to talk about truth and the loss of truth and why we need to vote based on the Word of God.
Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit